Today is Wednesday, March 11th, 19th day of the month of 20th day of the month of Adar. This is the women's chumash year. We're in the middle of Parshas Noach. Okay, Rabotai, we're at the beginning of Perek Chet. Beginning of Perek Chet, which we already began. And just have one or two ha'arot before we continue. If you remember correctly, the opening phrase of Perek Chet was Vayizkor Elohim et Noach. And we elaborated on the use of the word Vayizkor, which only appears three times in Tanakh. And I just want to just share with you that something that the Rav once said about this phrase, Vayizkor Elohim et Noach. I mentioned to you that the second bracha, special bracha, added to the davening of Musaf is Zichronot. So the focus of Zichronot, the Rav pointed out, is universalistic and individualistic. Namely, that it expresses a theme that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is number one concerned with the world in general. The whole world. And secondly, he's also concerned about each individual. So the bracha begins with Ata Zocher Ma'asei Olam Ufokei Kol Yitzurei Kedem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers everything that took place and will somehow recall, focate, is to remember also, every creature that has ever been created since the beginning of mankind. That's a pretty broad sweep. Because sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make decisions that impact not a single individual, but rather a broader kehila, a broader swath of people. So one thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned with is Ma'asei Olam and Kol Yitzurei Kedem. However, not only does God concern Himself with the masses as a whole, or the entity known as the world, and there are some governments, many governments, government leaders are responsible for whom? For the totality of their government. They're not necessarily focused on my particular problem. Government leaders don't really care or are interested or know that I might be having problems paying my taxes, I'm having fights with somebody, may not be healthy. That the government's not interested. They're looking only at what? At the broad sweep of their government. A family member is probably more concerned about what? Their individual members of the family. Not necessarily worried about the whole United States, what's happening in the whole United States, certainly not the whole world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exhibits concern for two different dimensions. One is that he's concerned about the whole world as a general. He has to control the whole, you know, the destiny of the whole world. But that does not relieve him of his obligation or concern for what? For each single individual. So although it is what? Ata Zocher Ma'asei Olam Ufokei Kol Yitzurei Kedem. So you get this grand sweep of history of people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in charge of everybody. But he also worries about every single individual. That's why the first pasuk that we cite in the bracha of Zichronot, the first pasuk is Vayizkor Elohim et Noach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exhibited both traits by remembering Noach. How does he remember both traits? Because without Noach, what happens?
Survival of humanity
goes on the one hand. But even if the entire world deserved to be destroyed, and it was, Noach as an individual deserved to be saved. So Vayizkor Elohim et Noach has a dual ramification. Number one, that through Noach he perpetuated the world, the Ma'asei Olam, and Kol Yitzurei Kedem. And even if the Kol Yitzurei Kedem were not deserving of being saved, Noach was saved. And therefore, it emphasizes Vayizkor Elohim et Noach. And sometimes it has the reverse effect. Here it has the effect that even though the Tzibur as a whole was not deserving of being saved, God looked at the individual and said, okay, you know what? You are going to be saved. Occasionally, and in fact more frequently, it's the reverse. That we try to latch on to the Tzibur based on the fact that we ourselves acknowledge that we may not have the merit to be awarded that which we're asking based on an individual. So what do? We join the Tzibur and have what is called in American politics coattail. The coattail effect. Exactly. That you hope that what? Somebody in the Tzibur is deserving, and you simply latch on to their coattail by virtue of the fact that you're part of the Tzibur. So it is important, the Rav always suggested, that we focus on both dimensions, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu focuses on both dimensions as well. We obviously have to focus on ourselves, but we also have a responsibility to the broader public. That we should try to help in all areas, in all spheres, try to help not only immediate family, our only immediate goal, but the broader sweep of society as well, based on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And both of them are contained within that phrase, Vayizkor Elohim et Noah. One save of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is better than a goalie. A goalie only makes one save. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has two saves with one save of Noah. He saved society, and he saved this particular individual. Yes?
Does Vayizkor, does any mention of the word Zachar always entail action? In other words, remembering and do something to show that you have remembered? Always an action?
I would say 99% of the time, yes. By the three times where the word Yizkor is, it's Vayizkor Elohim et Rachel, right? And what did he do? He granted her a child. Yivkod also. Pakad. Correct. He remembers you. What will he do? Then he will take you out of Mitzrayim. Moshe remembers Yosef. And what does he do? Vali semet atzmotai. Correct. It's not just enough to remember something. It's to be brought to action as a result of the fact that you remember. That's correct. What? Yes. Yes. That's correct. Good. So that's point number one. Point number two, I want you to look at the Ramban. The Ramban. Before you look at the Ramban, there are several dates that are mentioned as to when the rain started and when the rain ended. Several dates that are mentioned. And Rashi starts, we're not going to learn it along, he tries to prove, has the right date, whatever it is. So just look at the dates that happen to be mentioned. Okay? So look at for a second Pasuk Dalet of Perek Chet. Vatanach HaTeva Bachodesh HaShvi'i B'Shiv'a Asar Yom LaChodesh Al Harei Ararat. Okay? The Teva came to rest on the seventh month. Ladies and ladies, which is the seventh month? Depends what? Depends which way, when you start counting. Good. Good. So we always know in the Torah, Bachodesh HaShvi'i means what? Tishrei. Be'echad HaChodesh HaShvi'i is Rosh Hashanah. So the Ramban is going to point out something very important. That up until Yetzias Mitzrayim, there is no conflict whatsoever as to how to count the months. Everybody believes it begins from Tishrei. Let's read it inside. Take the Ramban. I bracketed it for you. The Ramban. It's a lengthy Ramban where he engages in some of the debate, which month it is, and I'm not focusing on that. Says the Ramban. Vida. Ki acharei shehiskimu shebetishrei nivra ha'olam. After everyone comes to an agreement that what? that the world was created when? In Tishrei. And, that's not really true. Not everybody agrees to that. Does anybody know anyone who disagrees? Rabbi Yeshua believes that the world was created in Nisan. So debate. Rabbi Eliezer says in Tishrei, and Rabbi Yeshua says b'Nisan. But the Ramban says that argument has been clinched. Ka'asher tiknu, as they have already established, zehayom tchilas masecha zikaron layom rishon. That's a phrase that we use where? In the brachav zichronot. What do we say about this day? Zehayom tchilas ma'asecha zikaron layom rishon. So what does the Ramban say? The Paitan, happens to be written by Kalir, has already adopted Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. That clinches the argument for me, says the Ramban. There's nobody who disagrees. Because if Kalir makes, and there's nobody in the world who doesn't say this, whether you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Syrian, makes no difference. Everybody says this paragraph of Zichronot, and the text is almost identical. So in all liturgies, it says, Zehayon Tchilas Masecha Zikaron Liyom Rishon. So once the liturgy has already incorporated that what? Zehayom, this day, the day when we say this, Rosh Hashanah, is Tchilas Masecha, clinch the art as if no one disagrees with it anymore. It's an interesting point in and of itself, that how does the Ramban come to this conclusion? Doesn't quote a Pasuk? Doesn't quote a Gemara? What does he quote? The Siddur. He quotes the Machzor. The Machzor. What? This is... No, this is not Machzor Vitri. This is...
The earliest Siddur is still...
No, this was composed by this is based on a tefillah of Rav. Zichronot, the Gemara says Rav composed today. That's 3rd century. That's pretty old. So, you know, Hakalir just, you know, elaborated a little, but it was Rav's tefillah. So, and it's interesting that he uses it, and I always say, the most critical book, or the most popular book that Am Yisrael has is the Siddur. Yeah. Because the Siddur is something that, you know, all across the stripes of no matter what denomination you are, whether you're terribly committed or not committed, whether you learn it or not, but at least you come to shul and you daven. So the Siddur happens to be something which is a critical book. And the Ramban here says, oh, it's as if Kasher Tiknu, like they established, as if no one disagrees, Zahayim Tchilas Zikon Hashem. V'chein hu Seder Hazmanim. Zera V'katzir V'kor V'chom Ye Rosh Hashanim Mitishrei. The pasuk later will say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never change the cycles. And the cycle which he uses here is Zera, Katsir, Kor, V'chom. Kor, V'chom. Now if you start with Nisan, you're not going to wind up being... Chom, which is the hot, is not going to be an Adar.
That's Zera will.
What?
You can start with Zera.
You can start with Zera. Correct. You could, but you can also have an early fall planting as well, which he's referring to. A fall planting, Zera, a harvest, Kor, the winter months, and then Chom, concluding the calendar with the summer months. The only way you can conclude the calendar of the summer months is if Rosh Hashanah is the beginning. You can't conclude the calendar if what? With the summer, if Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, the last... If Nisan is Rosh Hashanah, that means the last 3 months of the year was summertime. Anybody look outside? Look outside? Yeah.
On what is the state of Hasmanim? Who's established
that? No, this is... it's going to be a pasuk in the Chumash at the end of Perakhes. We're going to see it in the Chumash. He quotes this at the end, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises there will never be a change in cycles after what? The Mabul. Now in that particular Pasuk, the cycle is obviously calculated based on what? Rosh Hashanah being the beginning of the year. V'chein, and he writes, Hachadashim mimenu heim nimnim. Excuse me. Yer Rosh Hashanah mitishrei. V'chein hachadashim mimenu heim nimnim. Ad shehiganu liyetzias Mitzrayim. So any date that you find in the Chumash with a calendar month, you have to calculate it from when? From Rosh Hashanah, from Tishrei, until Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ve'az tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu limnot bechadashim minyan echad, min acher. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed us to change our cycle of calendar of the months. Shine emar, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodashim Hu L'Rishon Hu L'Chodshi HaShanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said from now on, the first month is this month. That's Nisan. U'mishom v'eilech, and from that time on, from that time where? Of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Parshat Bo, Shmot, chapter 12, which I didn't make you know by heart, I made you know 23. Shmot chapter 12. B'chol ha'katuv yimane Tishrei ha'chodesh ha'shvi'i. From that point on, Tishrei is no longer the first month of the year. From that point on, it is what? The seventh month of the year. V'adayin nish'ar b'shanim ha'cheshbon mimenu. And it is still what?
The seventh year.
Considered what? The seventh month of the year. How do I know? Dechsiv v'chag he'asif tikufat hashana. The Chag HaSif is the Yantav of Sukkot. It's described as Tikufat Hashana. V'kach Tirgim Yonatan Ben Uziel. B'yerach Eitanim B'chag Hu HaChodesh HaShvi'i. The month of the Eitanim is the Chodesh HaShvi'i. What is the month of the Eitanim? What does that mean, Rabotai? The month of the Eitanim? Eitanim are the powerful ones. Eitan means strong. It means the reference to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. When do we say the following paragraph? Zechor bris avot v'akedas Yitzchak. When do we say that? Rosh Hashanah. When else? Come on, you got to remember this. At Ne'ilah. Zechor bris Avraham v'akedas Yitzchak. Right? When do we daven Ne'ilah? What month? Seventh month. So, Yonatan ben Uziel translates Tikufat Hashanah. What is Chag HaSif Tikufat Hashanah? What Tikufa means? A special designated time. So Yonatan interprets the special designated time as the month of what? The Yerach HaEitanim. The month in which the strong ones come to assist us using their merits. Who are those Eitanim? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham is called Eitan HaEzrachi. In many of the keynote, and Kalir uses that word 50 times in the various slichot between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Eitan HaEzrachi. So Yonatan ben Uziel is a Tana, so he uses that as well. So when do these three appear? In the month of Tishrei. So this has remained Lidor Dorot. Not just in the time of the Torah, but Lidor Dorot, it is now called, the Chodesh HaShvi'i is now Tishrei. And so therefore, when you see in our parsha, the Chodesh HaShvi'i, do not calculate that it's Tishrei, but when would Chodesh HaShvi'i be if you're starting from Tishrei? What? No, when is the seventh month if you calculate from Tishrei? What?
Nisan.
6 months is Adar, sometime in Nisan. So when the rains stop, it's sometime in the month of Nisan, not in the month of Tishrei. So he's just telling us this point of information because you will see the phrase Chodesh HaShvi'i, Chodesh HaRevi'i. Know that until Yetzias Mitzrayim, it is one calendar. After Yetzias Mitzrayim, it changed based on the designation HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. Rosh Chodeshim. But he says, this last line, just look at the last five words. V'lo mana bo Adam HaRishon. Our Adam HaRishon did not calculate the way the Torah says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. How did Adam HaRishon count?
Tishrei.
Because every Tom, Dick, and Harry knows when was the world created? In Tishrei, of course. Not Nisan. Not Adam Nisan. What?
And Adam was there, so he should have known.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Right. No, but he makes this point for another point. Another point. If you believe that the Avot, for example, observed and Noah knew the Torah, and Rashi makes that point constantly. What does he say? Remember he said that? Noah knew the laws of Kashrut, remember? How did he know the distinction? Well, Noah, he studied Torah. How did Avraham do it? He studied Torah. Very nice. Well, if he studied Torah, what might you assume as well? That he would already count the calendar, what? Based on the Torah. So the Ramban says, don't be a little cute. He might have studied Torah, that's fine. But the calendar, he's not going to change based on Achodesh Hazeh Lachem. He's basing on the fact that what? The world was created, so Adam Rishon is not going to use any other date but Tishrei as the beginning of the world and launching the months, not after Nisan, but after Tishrei. But after Tishrei. Okay, Lama Gein Weiter. So now the Torah says in Pasuk Hey, v'hamayim hayu halok v'chasor, the waters receded, ad chodesh ho'asiri. When's chodesh ho'asiri now? Sometime in Tammuz. Exactly, sometime in Tammuz. It's not Teves. It's chodesh ho'asiri. Where? Ba'asiri be'echad ha'chodesh. Roshei Niru Roshei Harim. On the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains began to become visible. Very nice. Vayhi Miketz Arba'im Yom. He waited 40 days after that. Vayiftach Noach et Chalon HaTeva Asher Asar. Noach opened up the window which he made. So if it was a real window, he opened up the window. And if it was not a window, remember when the Torah said that it was the Tzohar, so what did he do? He removed it. He removed that Tzohar, that precious stone, every day to check on the water levels, how high it was.
Can't Asher Asar refer to the Teva?
No, it says Chalon HaTeva.
It's Chalon HaTeva Asher.
No, but the Truf doesn't read that way.
The Truf, okay.
It says Mercha Tevcha, it's Chalon HaTeva. It's Chalon. Now, where you would read it, they'd kill you in Rinat. If you would pause after the word chalon, somebody will jump on you. It's chalon hateva asher asa. So you opened up that chalon. Well, if it was a tzohar, the Torah didn't say chalon. What did the Torah write? Tzohar ta'aseh lateva. So tzohar, Rashi said there were two interpretations. One is a window, one is the stone. If it was the window, he opened. If it's a stone, he removed the stone, put his head out and took a peek as to what's going on. Very nice. So 40 days pass by. And what does he do? Vayishalach et ha'orev, vayetze yatzo vashov adivoshet hamayim me'al ha'aretz. Okay. Translate it simply, and I'm going to ask you to compare two psukim and then a fascinating Orach Chaim. Fascinating. Vayishalach et ha'orev, vayetze yatzo vashov adivoshet hamayim me'al ha'aretz. Translate that, please. You have the English there. And it went what?
Sends out the raven.
And he went out.
Back and forth. Until the water dried from the land.
Okay. Then it says, Vayishalach et hayona me'ito, lirot hakalu hamayim me'el pnei hadama. What is the difference between Noah's sending of the Orev and the sending of the Yona? Yeah. Okay, but I'm asking you in the instructions which Noah gave. Compare the pasuk. Besides Me'ito. Okay. Oh, exactly. Are there any instructions as to why Noah sent out the Orev?
No.
It was Vayishalach the Orev. Esnachta. That's at the end of what Noah did. He sent out. Now the Torah reports something about the Orev. What was the Torah report about the Orev? Vayetse, the Orev, Shotso Vashov, he went back and forth because the waters had not yet dried. Then it says, Vayishalach the Yonah, and why did he send the Yonah? Lirot Hakalu Hamayim. Well, why do you think he sent out the Orev then? Was it not Lirot Hakalu Hamayim to see if the waters had receded?
We don't know if the Orev came back. We don't know what happened.
It says Yatsov Vashov. Okay, so
it seems like it's.
Is there? So my question is the Orev, is the designation of the Orev and the Yonah story exactly comparable?
No,
they seem to be radically different. And normally, when you read it, just quickly, you say, "Oh, he sent out the Orev, they come," and he sent the Yonah. No. The instruction as to what's running through Noach's mind does not seem to appear to be recorded in the text for the Orev. That's number one. He doesn't say, I'm sending out the Orev, Lirot Hakalu Hamayim. Which was obviously, that's the simple way to read it. To see if the waters had receded. Well then, why doesn't it say it? And if you think it's obvious, what question do you have to ask? Then why does it have to say it by the Yonah? Why does it have to say it by the Yonah? What? And what? And that's also another question. Then compare Pasuk Tet with Pasuk Zion. Pasuk Tet, in terms of Noach's reaction to the return of the Orev versus the Yonah. Oh! When the Orev comes back, do we have any evidence that Noach did anything to bring it back into the Teva?
No.
Absolutely not.
What? He had no relationship with the Orev.
That's exactly. He seems to have had no relationship with this Orev.
How many girls were coming into
the Teva? Two of each non-kosher. Seven of each kosher.
One pair?
No, two pairs, according, right. Now, good. Now, yet with the Yonah, what does he do? He stretches out his hand and he brings it back in. That has to be significant as well. So many Parshanim ignore these changes. Just don't make any comment on it. Don't make any comment. However, the Orach Chaim picks up and says something remarkable. Let's take the Orach Chaim, and then we'll see Rashi. And he asks the questions which you just asked. So you are next. You are the next Orach Chaim HaKadosh. We don't refer to Orach Chaim, it's Orach Chaim. He's Orach Chaim HaKadosh. That's what people call it. The Heilig Orach Chaim. Vayishalach et ha'orev. Sarich lada'at. Lama Sholcho. We have to figure out why did Noach send the Orev. V'im lirot hakalu hamayim. If you would like to suggest the obvious that what? That he sent them to check whether the waters receded. Hayalo mar. Hakatuf. The pasuk should have said hakalu hamayim. Kimosha amar bishlichut hayona. Just as he did it when what? He sent out the Yonah. V'im lo hutzrach lomar, and if it's not necessary to be recorded, why? Because it's obvious. Lama hutzrach lomar b'shlichut hayonah. Why does it have to mention this fact? Why the purpose of the agency when you describe the Yonah? That's question number one. Od, mahi kavanat omro yatso vashov ad yiboshet hamayim. What exactly does that phrase mean? Yatso vishov. It's a very unusual formulation. Yatso. I can't think of another pasuk in Chumash, at least, where the phrase yatso even appears. Im hakavanahi shelo matzah la Noach chutzah v'hayach chozer chalila. If it meant to say that Orev sweeps around, and what did he not find? Manoach, Mazah Manoach, a resting place. V'haya chozer chalila, and therefore what did he do? He returned to his base. Im kein, lama hutzrach Noach l'shloach hayona. Why did he have to send the Yonah? V'lo haya lo ha'orev le'ot u'lemofet she'adayin lo kolu
hamayim. But it doesn't say that he sent him the next day.
Ah! That's... Okay. So what would the text have indicated if he waited again?
Okay.
Vayihi... Mimacharas. Vayihi... You know, l'keitz what? Arba'it... Because the first time he sent out, we know exactly how long he waited after the waters receded. How long did he wait?
40 days.
So the Torah is being very specific. It tells you not only which month the waters stopped, the day it was Rosh Chodesh, right? Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. And then he tells you exactly how many days he waited, 40 days. All of a sudden, we're not interested how many days. He just waited and he didn't tell us? Okay, it may not be the most compelling, but that's his question. That's his question. Okay? You okay with it?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I can't wait to see his answer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Od mahi kavanasa bahoda'at ad yivoshet. Ad yivoshet. What does that mean, ad yivoshet? What does ad yivoshet mean? It should have said ad yavsha haaretz. Yaboshet is a very unusual phraseology.
How do you translate
yaboshet?
What?
It means water, dried up water. That's yaboshet means dried up water.
How about it's like yibosh, the drying up?
Okay. You're right. I don't know. He's concerned about this particular phrase. Od lama hutzrach latzeit ad yiboshet. See, he interprets the word ad yiboshet as what? Until the land was where you reach the land. What is it coming from? What word did Parshas Bereishis? The Yabasha. Where is the Yabasha? Not just drop. Where is Yabasha?
Removal of the water.
What? And what happened when you removed the water? What did you reach? You reached the land. Ad Yaboshet, the phrase is, Ad Yaboshet Hamayim Me'al Ha'aretz. And what happened? There was land there already. So what happens? He Yatsov Ashov, he's flying around Ad Yiboshet Hamayim. Translate it now the way he thinks it means. Until how long is the Orev flying around?
Until the water dries out.
Hold on, he's flying around. That's what he said. Yatsov Ashov, what does that mean? Back and forth, exactly. Until when? Ad Yiboshet Hamayim.
But if
it's Ad Yiboshet Hamayim, what does Noach not need?
Just
to have to send the Yonah. He's got the answer ready. The Orev was flying around. Ad when? Ad Yiboshet Hamayim. Yes.
When the Chumash says Vashov, does he go back into the table?
Oh, that's... You're jumping the gun. That's going to be his point. That it never says that the Orev went back where? Into the Teva. It does say it by the Yonah.
Vashov means to me that he's
going around. So you...
To the Teva, doesn't necessarily mean...
That's why...
If he didn't go back to the Teva, then he found a place that was dry.
Right. He's flying back and forth until... Just read the words. Yatsova haloch. It's as if he's walking around and round, flying round and round until when?
Until he finds
a place to rest. Ad Yiboshet. So now that's the way he's interpreting, and he's not far from being wrong, because what does the phrase Ad Yiboshet Hamayim till it's dried out? So what do you have to send the Yonah for?
Because a bird can find dry land higher up than Yonah can find land.
Oh, but it doesn't say on the top of the trees. Where does it say Ad Yiboshet? What is it? Me'al Ha'aretz.
But
how is he understanding the text?
May Al. Dry land.
That's like an airplane circles until it's time to land. Exactly.
Is there any significance as to the two different types of birds?
Oh, of course there's going to be. There's got to be. There's going to be 20 drushes about that. You're going to say number 21. Yes. Yeah.
Maybe it's, we were talking about the water's not being hot. So maybe it's the question of whether it's flying back and forth, whether the water that's already in the atmosphere is operating in the manner that a bird can survive. It doesn't have to be necessarily...
But you're giving an answer to what he, to his concern.
Meaning that's why it doesn't say...
Okay, maybe. Some refer to that, that Risichut HaMayim might have been... Actually, the Ramban makes reference to that. That you have to take into consideration the water took time, what? To cool down. Cool down, yes. Yes. Who? Oh, that's going to be another question. What do you mean? What do you mean? Because next pasuk we're going to say that the Yonah brought back what? A leaf. What do you mean a leaf? Weren't the trees uprooted? He's going to everyone's going to deal with that. Everyone, not just him. It's an excellent question. No, good. We're doing all the questions. I can walk out. That's it. They don't need. What? There's got to be some. I haven't seen any yet, but it's a good point. 40 days from Tammuz is the ninth of what? Of Av. That's correct. So let's just see what he says. Achein, he relies on a midrash which Rashi quotes as well, based on a Gemara. It's a medrash. Achein, paragraph 3, kavanat hakatuv hu al pi ma'amar rabotenu zal. Ki ha'orev shimesh bateva. That's correct. The orev had relations with its mate in the teva. Of all of the species in the teva, including man, none of them had relations. Rashi had emphasized that on more than one occasion. V'yada bo Noach, and Noach knew about this. Ulozeh. Kishapatach chalon hateva, when Noah opens the window of the teva, garash ha'orev mehateva, take her from the yard. Get lost, Mr. Orev. This is the Gemara he's quoting. It's the Gemara. That's correct. He's not sending out the prophet to see if the water had receded, because otherwise the text would have said it. Why does he send them out? Because he had disobeyed one simple ground rule of the Teva. The Hu Amro, and therefore it says Vayishalach et Ha'orev. Now I like this reading. It's just not going to hold up by the Yonah, but there is ample support for it. Tell me two ways in which you can say he sent away in the Hebrew language. Vayish and Vayishalach. Which is the more harshest language? Vayishalach. Good. Please open up for a second to Shmot, Perik Yudchet, the last pasuk in Perik Yudchet of Sefer Shmot. Correct. As opposed to Vatikach. Vatilokach means by force. Correct. What piel? What? What is that? Anybody grammarian? What root is that? When you have Vayishalach, as opposed to Vayishlach is Kal, and what's Vayishalach? Come on, somebody, lady, you have to know grammar. Didn't you learn that in high school? What? I had that with Dr. Siv. One of the two teachers in YU you have to avoid. You didn't want to ruin your GPA. Talbus and Siv. What? Right, Dr. Hook. That's what he was called. He was nice. He gave you a C+. But you like Karen B. Abner, guys. That's why I got an A. I was lucky. Perik Yudchet of Sefer Shmot, the last pasuk. Oh, hold on. Good. This is Parshat Yitro. Good.
He sent him off with the...
Oh, yes.
Mega. I want you to now open up to Bamidbar. Hold your finger on here, and I'm going to show you where Vayishalach plays a major role. Hold your finger there, and then open up to Bamidbar, chapter 10. Oh, yeah, 10. It's Pasuk, I believe, Chav Zayin, Chav Chet, something like that. Vayomer Moshe El Chovav. Anybody have the pasuk?
Chav Tet.
Good. What is Moshe doing? What is Moshe doing? No. He's not sending him away here yet at all. It says he's inviting him. He's inviting his father-in-law. Even though it doesn't say Yisro, he has seven different names, because it says Chotein Moshe. The father-in-law of Moshe was Yitro. He's inviting. What? No, simila lecha itanu, come with us, veheitavnu lach. We'll be very good to you. And what does Yisro say? What does he say? Lo elef. Then what happens? After he says lo elef, ki emel atzi, I'm going back to my bed. What? See, another appeal, right? What's Yisro's response? Does Yisro respond? No. So there's a second invitation by Moshe, and we have no idea how Yisro responded. Says the Ramban, not me. Says the Ramban, this unit here has to be understood in the context of a pasuk that was written, what? In Parshat Yitro. Vayishalach Moshe et Yichotno. What does it mean, Vayishalach? He was angry at him. Why was he angry at him? Because he declined the invitation to come. Vayishalach. And he said, not mine, Vayishlach means in a courteous way. Correct. Vayishlach lo malachim. In a respectful way. Vayishalach means you're a little angry. Orach Chaim is using that here. What does he say? How does he know that the Orev was kicked out of the Teva? Because it says Vayishalach et Orev, not Vayishlach. What? I said that in introducing my comment. That's going to be a little difficult, but Me'ito. Me'ito. What does Me'ito mean? Getting away from it. That's a good point. What do you have to say? Of course, if you're sending away anybody, it's away from you. Of course it is. Why does it have to say Me'ito? Because the purpose of the sending was to do what? To get a distance from what? From himself and the Orev. And the Orev. Velo hizkir lirot hakalu hamayim. The Torah does not mention that the purpose of sending the Orev is for what? To receive the waters that receded. Kimosha omar achakem b'shlichut hayuna. Why? Because that was not the purpose. No, it says, okay. Oh, that's a good point. Excellent question. The who orev, the hoya orev haya yatso vashov. Perush, noach megarsho, the who choser v'nishar baderech zeh ad yivoshet hamayim. What does that mean? He came back to what? Not because what? Why is he hanging out? Because he wasn't let back in. So if he wasn't let back in, what does he do? He makes another hakafa. Yes. There's no place to rest.
But
so he comes.
Rested on top of the.
Okay, he could have, but it does. But he's not gaining. He's not going to gain anything there. He's not going to have food there, and so on and so place.
Right.
So.
But
he's just trying to explain what it means. He's explained yatso vashov. What does the word vashov means? To go back and forth. It literally means to go and to return. Go back and forth. Yatso vashov.
Right. So I picture returning to the Teva.
not necessarily going inside.
Okay, I'm not saying this is an art. I'm just telling you what he suggests.
What's it mean to garesh and shalach? Because
to garesh means to send away. And vayishalach is the harsh way of sending somebody that he's thrown out, not that you that he's going.
But in gracious Adam is garesh. Isn't that mean he's kicked out?
Yes, yes.
Harsh?
It could have said vayishalach instead of vayigaresh Hashem. Yes, he's equating the two phrases precisely.
But they're equal.
Yes.
Doesn't that defeat the purpose of the ark in saving the heir of every species?
But he blew it.
How old are ravens? There are ravens now. So the ravens did breathe.
They were supposed to wait until
they were supposed to wait until after they got out.
So we already did. But how, if you don't have this one raven that he got rid of, and you have a lady raven still sitting in the
ark, well, they have babies.
How old are the ravens now? You're chasing them out.
They have babies on the tail.
Does that defeat the purpose of...
Yeah, by separating the pair.
Yeah, but maybe there were new ravens on the table after they had relations.
Why not? Okay, so I'm just telling you how he reads the pasuk using a midrash quoted in the Gemara. Now, I honestly believe it's not the pshat of the pasuk. It's not. Because I don't think the Torah is going to refer to referring to this event, which happens to be recorded in the Medrash. I don't think it's the pshat, but it does respond to what? To certain difficulties of the text. Is it possible that this happened? Of course it's possible. And maybe the Medrash is 100% right. I bring this to your attention because it's somewhat a creative read in the text, and it addresses difficulties in the text. Because according to the pshat, the questions remain. Why not use the expression lirot hakalu hamayim? Why only by the yonah and not by the right? Why did he not open up the to bring him back? Vayikachel hayonah. He takes it. He doesn't take in the oil. Why? Those are powerful questions. So sometimes you have to acknowledge, which Rashi believes fully. Let me ask you this question. We've seen Rashi for 25 years. He quotes the Medrash 80% of the time. You think Rashi's, because he likes Medrash? Because he went to, he read Little Medrash, the Little Medrash, when he said play groups in Renat? So why does he do so? Tell me why. Because he believes that that's the way to interpret the text. That the text has to be understood hand in hand with the Midrash. Why is that so far-fetched? Isn't the rest of Torah Shebiksav understood hand in hand with Torah Shebaal Peh? Of course it is. There's not one mitzvah in the Torah which you and I would know what we're talking about if we didn't have Torah Shebaal Peh. Not one. So why is it so far stretched to believe that if the halachic matter of the Torah can only be understood if you adopt a hands-in-hand approach with the midrash halacha, why is it so far-fetched that the narrative portion should not be understood through the perspective, the lens of the midrash agadah? That's Rashi's belief. It is his belief. That's the best way to read it. And it's not so far-fetched. Because I said, all of the halachic matter of the Torah is predicated that way. We're going to eat matzah. The Torah says, Chagama, Be'erev tochlu matzot. Without the Gemara and Pesach, maybe matzah is a tam-tam. I like tam-tams. I'm going to say, matzah is a tam-tam. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. You can't. Torah Shebaal Peh is the basis of everything. So this is just an example of where many of the difficulties of the text can be understood through the perspective of the Midrash. And he believes that that's the right pshat. That's the most close reading of the text. It's not the pshat, I'll grant you that. But the pshat leaves a lot to be desired. Leaves a lot to be... certain questions which are hard to understand. Hard to understand. Yeah. Later on, he goes on to quote that Noach suspected that the Orev had relations not only with Mrs. Orev, but with who else? Mrs. Noach. That's what he claims. Later on. Yes. It's based on the same Gemara.
So before Adaram called the raven was...
Before what?
Before Adaram called the raven was...
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Good. Okay. We'll stop here. Yeah, I'll take a question and stop here. Yeah?
What do you say about Vaishalach being the
harsher form? Right.
He sends a law after Hashem tells him he has to listen to her. I think that.
Okay, I'm just telling you that's not my distinction. It's acknowledged by almost everybody that there is a difference between Vayishalach and Vayishlach. And if it was the same, you'd have to ask the question: why does the Torah have to use two different expressions? There's got to be a difference in the meaning. There could be psukim where that thing doesn't fit in. But you have to acknowledge there's got to be a difference between the two. We'll stop here, continue next week with the Yonah, and try to see why the Yonah and the Orev played a role.